Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Modo always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Today, before I start the episode, my book, Spencer's Ghost, did a price drop at Amazon. It dropped to $13.99. If you go on my website, authoralcooley.com, there is a code that's available only in Bookshop. And if you copy that code, go into Bookshop, apply that code before checkout, you will take an additional $4 off that $13.99. That's on my website, running from April 1st through May 1st. If you go into Goodreads, Spencer's Ghost will be in the giveaway section. Enter the giveaways. Spencer's Ghost, take a chance of winning an autographed copy with a customized bookmark. Doesn't cost you for shipping handling. Doesn't cost you to enter. Doesn't cost you for the book. It's totally free. That's April 1st through May 1st. Enter the contest and take a chance on winning a free copy of my book.
This is Sen Trader Hill, founder of Elk Valley Paranormal down in southern Middle Tennessee. I'm a self-published author, so please, please go check my books out. There's three nonfiction. The first one is Whispers in the Dark, True Ghost Stories, and Eerie Tales. The second is They're Speaking, Are You Listening? My most compelling EVPs. The third is It's Not Goodbye, Signs from Beyond. And then there's one fiction, Web of Terror, a short story collection right along with my friend Mark Elliott Fultz. They're all available on Amazon in paperback and Kindle versions. So please go purchase them. Right now, I'm listening to Ghost in the Valley podcast. Come join me.
I'm so excited today to have Sen Trader Hill back on the show. Sen's an author, a storyteller, founder of the Elk Valley Paranormal. And most importantly, I can call Sen Trader Hill my friend. You know, and that to me means more than anything. So welcome back to Ghost of the Valley, Sen Trader Hill.
Thank you so much. I've been looking so much forward to this.
You know, have you ever heard the saying, you can tell what a person's like by the people they hang with?
It's true.
It's very true, because I'll tell you what, I just had Eric Freeman Sims on my show.
Did you?
Last week, you know. Coming up, I have Daniel from The Magical Journey.
Nice.
I think I'm going to talk to him tomorrow night, matter of fact. And you know, and all these people have nothing but nice things to say about you.
Oh, no.
I went to a Paracon this past October. I swear to God, half the people there knew you.
No way.
Yeah, because your name kept coming up, you know? I was yeah.
How much do I owe these people?
Oh, you should have Sen Trader Hill on your eyes. I said, yeah, I know who she is. She's coming back on. Yeah. She's been on the show. Oh, really? Okay, cool. You know?
Oh.
Yeah, that was in Virginia. That was in Culpeper, Virginia, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So you never know who you contact, you know, who you... may have a mark on. You leave your mark on, you know, and it's a good mark. So it's all good things said about you.
Hopefully it'll stay good things.
And Eric Freeman Sims was telling me you helped him with his book.
Edited.
You edited his book. Wow. And you forwarded that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
sure did. That was right after I finished Mark's cookbook. And Mark's cookbook took, Mark Elliott Fultz, cookbook took 14 and a half months, 1,788 recipes.
Wow.
I know because I counted them.
Wow. Okay.
and he's also got, it looks like a telephone book. Look, I've got it right beside me. It looks like a phone book.
I mean, that's a big book.
That's a big book. It's a notebook size, you know, and he's got everything in there. He's even got things about funeral food, and he's got a section on frozen Charlotte. It's a dessert that we really don't hear about anymore. That was really popular.
Yeah, is that a cookbook on like paranormal related or just a cookbook?
It's his family, mostly his grandmother's recipes. And then he's always been a foodie since he was little, and he's always collected recipes. And there's some really old recipes in there. So not only is it his grandmother's and his mother's and his and, you know, friends and family, but it's things from Germany back in the 1700s and, you know, a couple of things from Russia.
And that's really cool, you know, because people, it's hard to pass down the recipe. Some people do not want to share their recipe.
That's right.
You know, so it's hard to pass that down, you know.
Yeah, well, he says that if his grandmother knew he had all of her recipes, she would just roll over in her grave, because he calls her a recipe assassin. The fact that whenever somebody would ask her for a recipe, she would say, "Oh, I'll write it down for you," but she'd either leave out something or put too much of something in it. So you never knew what to do with the recipe, but it was never right.
But that cookbook there, that's serious.
You should get Mark on. You should get Mark on to talk about it. Yeah. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, he would be a really good guest for you. But,
you know, because my grandmother, in my book, it just came out, I had talked about how my grandmother, she passed down. She did a couple of recipes on me to make me feel better. And there were the old remedies that were questionable, you know. So, like the blue tea I drank, I had this flu, and it was off of, because it's a southern recipe, it came, you know, haint blue. So it would be like, it would be like a haint blue tea. So it, and I'll tell you what, I don't know what was in it, but I was fine. It was like,
did it taste good or bad?
It was terrible. So it would be like drinking black molasses, you know, so it was, dark molasses. It was terrible. So, but it worked.
Yeah, it probably had some good things in there that you needed. I mean, you know, if you think about all of our food today, we've got all these sweeteners in it and all the unnatural flavors. And if we didn't have fast food and restaurants and frozen food and groceries and things like that, oh my goodness, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do.
You know, sometimes you have to have that. You know, you can't sit down for a full course meal, or some people don't have time for that.
No.
There's a lot of people that still have to work and raise a family. By the time you get home, whether he or she, they don't have the time.
No, because you still have things to do at home. I tell you, there's a good sister side and a bad sister side. And the bad sister side, or ugly sister, I should say, pretty sister, ugly sister. And the ugly sister side has a warning in front of it that if you're squeamish, just don't go into that part of the book, because it's got everything from possum, raccoon, haggis, you know, anything with sardines.
You know what that reminds me of? Went to West Virginia a few years ago, and we had to, it was called the Roadkill Festival.
Oh, no.
And you would think, you know, my brother was like, I'm not eating anything with cinders in it, you know. I says, it's not like that at all, you know. These are actually recipes people make up from, like you said, possum. I mean, things you wouldn't think about your eating.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
you know, I would try these, most of them, well, okay, there's might be a couple in here I couldn't do, but I would try most of these if someone else cooked them in their home, because I don't want to smell it.
I still don't eat shrimp, but I
do not.
No, or oysters, anything that's gonna. Eh. But there's a lot of people that like that stuff, you know. And
unfortunately, I do.
Anyway, yeah, I'm impressed by that book. I'm telling you what, you held that up, and I'm telling the people, my listeners out there, because they can't see it, but this sucker's huge. It's a nice size cookbook.
Yeah, looks like a phone book. Mark and I have been working on each other's books. So he does the illustrations and the covers for mine. And in return, I edit his. Mm-hmm. So I told him when this cookbook came out, because it took so long, I said, okay, I've got to get my next two or three books out before we do another one of yours. And he said, let's do that. Yes, we will.
And getting on your book. So, I mean, how many do you have out now?
I've got five, but 6 and 7 are coming out soon.
Oh, you're doing a back-to-back?
Well, it was going to be the signs book that we talked about, the second signs book. Mm-hmm. But I'm having to separate it into two because I had so many near-death experience stories. And I thought, well, you know, that just needs to be a book on its own. So it's going to be a book. It's called Death's Door or Death's Doorstep. I'm not sure. I'm kind of going back and forth on the name. But it's going to have near-death experience, angel rescues, and spirit warnings. And then the other book is signs from our loved ones, whether or not you see them in a dream or as an apparition or red birds, coins, feathers, song comes on the radio, mm-hmm. those kind of things. So that's going to be in that book. And I'm going to try to bring them out close together.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you have going on, you know. So I know you've been busy because I know Eric said you worked your butt off on his book and you guys spent some time on that.
You know, that was so much easier than the cookbook. I just, you know, it was done, and I was so happy.
I wouldn't think a cookbook would be, I mean, you're writing down the recipes, and
that's what I thought.
Yeah.
We thought this was going to be the easiest thing we've done so far, and I tell you, Al, it has been the hardest. It's been the hardest one, but hey, I've got it under my belt now.
All right, yeah.
Know how to do it.
I mean, you surprised me on that one, yeah. I mean, Eric also said you were helping him with a Goblin Con.
Yeah.
Paracon.
Right.
Coming up in Kentucky, I think in October.
That's in October. I'm going to be a speaker there and vendor as well.
Mm-hmm. I did a couple last year. Mm-hmm. I was invited to our ghost walk in my town. Mm-hmm. Like I was telling Eric on the show, I said, you know how exciting that was for me, talking about my book from a town that I'm sitting at. You know,
right.
Doing the signing, I'm looking at the log cabin. I'm looking at the courthouse.
Wow.
The river's right behind. I think everything here is in my book. And I'm looking at it.
Perfect.
So that was just a perfect setting.
Perfect. Yes.
Sold out of my books there. That was cool.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah. I'm like, wow. You know, I was overwhelmed, really. I mean, and the people you meet, you know that with yourself. I think you told me before, you like going out and meeting people and signing your book there. And like I said before, I don't mind constructive criticism.
No.
I'm all for it, you know.
Right.
To have somebody say, oh, that it's just, and give you a one star. I don't think they really understand what it takes to go out there right. And do that, you know.
I don't. Mm-mm.
So I'm all new to this, you know. I never read a Kindle or an ebook. My thing has always been paperback.
Mm-hmm.
We're not used to that, you know. So,
yeah.
But no, I'm like, the last two books I read were on Kindle. I'm thinking, oh, okay, this is pretty cool, you know, because I can change the font. I can change the font size, and older folk need the bigger font size, you know.
Yes, and all my books are on Kindle, and if you have Kindle Unlimited, they're free.
Modo.us.
Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Modo always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, but I was going to tell you that even with Kindle Unlimited, that it's getting it out there in front of more people. And just the fact that they're flipping through it gives you a couple of cents. I mean, I don't...
I just got a really check today, and I was like, I don't understand what this is for. You know, it's like, and I more looked into it. It's from the flipping through people that just read, now, like, say, two paragraphs, whatever. So you get paid for that, you know. I'm like, well, I didn't know I was even in that, you know.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, Eric's book is already doing so well. All five of mine together have never done as well as his one. So,
well, you know, he has a big following.
Yes.
You know yourself what you make off of Amazon, especially like through the print version.
Yeah. You know,
It's just unreal.
Unless you have hundreds of books,
you're
not going to get rich.
Right. You know, and it's not just Amazon. I mean, because Barnes & Noble and Walmart and Apple, they're all the same. So if you look at your royalty from all of those, it's about the same. Yeah, so I went both routes with the ebook and the Kindle and the print. They told me, you know, once you get a second book out there or a third, then you'll start doing better. You have more to play with each other, you know.
Right.
It's kind of hard for a single book for a first-time author to make any money. I knew that going into it, you know. So with all the millions of books on Amazon, the marketing to me is tough.
It is.
I don't like going into something where you can't trust somebody.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, if I can make half of that back, I'm happy, you know. So and then the second book, which I'm already working on, will be following that footsteps, and so I'm happy with what I've got coming in, and the responses, you know, because it's supposedly targeted to young adult. I've had somebody 92 years old contact me last week and says, oh, they love the book. Oh, that's cool, you know, because publisher was saying this, it was basically targeted for young adult, and it probably is because it's written out of my eyes at 12 years old.
Yeah, I see it as an ageless story. I mean, I was very pulled in.
You know, and I wish I left a couple chapters in that book, and I'll tell you that after the air. You know, it was I wish I left those in, but I'm kind of trying to squeeze them into the next one because I thought they were really important. Because, you know, the name of the book was Spencer's Ghost, The Guardian. So hardly nobody asked me about The Guardian, you know, because I feel like I have this guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
And like I told Eric, I have no idea who it is. Some people know their guardian angel or angels, and they have named them. They know who they are. I do not. Who it is or where it is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, one person at the Paracon asked me, tell me about your guardian angel. And I was like, yes. Yes, but I really loved your concept on your books, you know.
The Whispers in the Dark was the first one. They're speaking, are you listening? That third one, it was supposed to be my first one.
Do you have to read the first one, the second one?
No, not at all. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Not at all. They're all interchangeable. The second book is the fiction book that Mark and I wrote, just to do a fiction book. There's a little tiny bit of truth in each story, but nobody knows exactly what it is as they're reading it. And we just wanted to do that. and get that one out. But the rest of mine are all short story, true stories. You can sit down and read one story, come back later, skip over in the book and read half, you know, another story that's maybe a page. You know, it's just made for short sits, you know, just whenever you have a chance to read.
Right. Has anybody ever come to you and said, did that really happen?
I've had people come up and say, I want to know more about this particular one. Or where is that gravel road you're talking about in that first book? Mm-hmm. Where is it? And I'll tell them.
Is there a reason why you don't put where that gravel road was?
I did. It was because the people that ask me actually live in the area, and I'm not very far from it. I'm within probably 3-5 miles from that gravel road. And it actually had a Bigfoot crossing sign on it for years. It was a gravel road. And we're known in this area for the Flintville Monster.
Okay.
Flintville Monster is a white Bigfoot.
I was going to ask you if it was like an albino.
Yeah, we don't know if it's albino or is it an old Bigfoot. You know, maybe it's a gray hair Bigfoot. Maybe it's been around. Maybe that's why he's so grumpy, because
he's a senior citizen. Yeah.
He's attacked cars and gone after people. So he's not your regular Bigfoot. He's not one of the ones that you see and then he's gone. You know, he's coming at you. So that started back. The first that I remember the story was back in the 70s. So, and my dad never told my dad was from Flintville. I live here now. It's a very small little country farm town.
That's in Tennessee.
Yes, it's okay. And it's still in Lincoln County, just north of Huntsville, Alabama. But I was born in Fayetteville, which is the county seat, and Flintville is about 15 to 20 minute drive, depending on how fast you drive into town.
So you're like at the southern part of Tennessee.
Yeah, that's where we are. And I remember when I was little, coming up to see my grandparents, always thought that 20 minute drive was the longest drive in the world. We were going out in nowhere land. There was nothing but fields and, you know, a couple of restaurants on the way, but I always thought they lived forever away from us. And now fast forward 50 plus years away and I live in Flintville, and if I'm speeding, I can get to Fayetteville in 10 minutes. So, you know, it wasn't that far.
So have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
I have not.
I haven't either, you know.
I want to.
I do too.
But what I was going to tell you about my dad never told me about the Flintville Monster. He never brought it up, but he did talk about the Flintville Light, and a lot of places have these lights close to railroad tracks, like somebody got hit by a train and they're walking the railroad track trying to find the rest of their body or their head or whatever. The Flintville Light, supposedly a man got hit and he is forever searching for his head. Now, there's a similar story in Centerville, I believe, Cornersville, which is not very far from here. Mm-hmm. So there's no telling how many stories across the U.S. Around train tracks that there is some kind of light anomaly that people have talked about over the years.
Mm-hmm. And that probably they have a different story that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I found that out when I went to Kecksburg UFO Festival in Pennsylvania, and these people were there in 1965 when this UFO crashed, and they're my age now. They were, 10, 12 years old at that time. So I love, man, hearing their stories.
Yeah.
Especially in Always World, came back down to the Men in Black. I love those stories. I love talking to people. I've never seen Bigfoot. I'd never seen a UFO. But that doesn't mean it doesn't exist, because I didn't.
Right.
I get that with my book, you know. I never seen a ghost in my life until we moved out of a haunted house. So, and I never, after we moved out, I haven't seen one since. But yeah, there's just so much evidence out there right now.
Yeah.
How many thousands of Bigfoots that are legit, or UFOs, mm-hmm. UAPs, I mean, how many mm-hmm. they're on your phone.
That, right.
But now it's getting with the AI. It's so good. It's almost, it makes the real stuff.
It almost makes it worthless. And that's so unfortunate.
It is.
That's so unfortunate. A lot of several authors are starting to use AI. And I think that's a cheap way out.
Yeah, you're right. It's a cheap way out. It's not, to me, authentic.
To me either.
Uh-uh. You know, you can write a book for somebody and put their name on it. And I mean, come on, man.
Yeah. And I can see using AI to come up with topics of, okay, give me a list of articles that I can go to, or, you know, give me a list of true ghost stories from this era I want to read about, and, you know, something that you could pull from, but not, it's almost, to me, it's plagiarizing. I know that it's not.
In a way, it is. I mean,
AI sense. Yeah. In a way, it is.
You're talking about, you're going down that dirt road. You didn't name the road.
Oh.
Somebody told me they were a little upset at me because I named the cemetery that I went to, and people go there and they vandalize it. Do they do it off my podcast? I don't know. You know.
Right.
And I learned that from my video production when I was going out on sites I was getting stories from, mm-hmm. and I was told from the detective from Hermitage, Pennsylvania, just got named the road that connected that bridge. I could say Hermitage, I could say the Hogback Road because it's the Hogback Bridge.
Okay.
But what happens is you're on a thin line there, because if these houses can't sell on that road, they can come back and say, well, because you have a paranormal thing blasting our road as being a haunted road.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I think it's just sometimes better just to make up a road, make up a name, or leave mm-hmm. the name out. I have been asked that quite a bit of times at some of book signings. Is, where was that house exactly located? You know,
right, right.
Now if you're in my area, you're from my town, I'll tell you. You know, because
yeah,
they know basically everything that's wrong there anyway. But it is exciting to hear other people's perspective on different, like Bigfoot. You know.
Mm-hmm.
No.
.us. Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at Modo. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There's got to be something. I mean, there's all kinds of, and they've got to be intertwined somehow, somehow. And the fact that so many people have seen something, you really can't discount everybody as being crazy.
Right, right. People, it's not going to take that seriously because of the AI is out there.
Right. Yeah.
You still work for the old Fayetteville Hospital?
I'm still in contact with the owner, but we're still not up for public investigations.
I know that was like, what, a year ago you were telling me you weren't there. So I just wonder what the update was on that.
Yeah, there's not really.
Is it a funding issue? Like,
it's really a political issue. It's a good old boys club here. And if the good old boys aren't getting their palms greased, ain't nobody going to get anything. And that's sad.
That is sad. How true that is. Almost every, from
yeah.
federal government to state government to local.
Yes.
To your neighbor.
Yes.
It's terrible.
It was so bad growing up. I knew when I was 18, as soon as I graduated, I was getting out of this town and I was never coming back. And here I am. But I will tell you the reason I did come back, because I was doing physical therapy. I was an assistant, licensed assistant, and I was traveling all over the country. So my last post was in Washington State, and they asked me where I wanted to go next. And I said, Alaska. I'll drive right up. And they said, oh, we don't have anything in Alaska right now. Is there any place else you would like to go? And I said, I really want Alaska next. So I think I'm just going to go home for a little break until you got something. Mm-hmm. And I drove all the way back to Tennessee, and my dad died the month later.
Oh, wow.
So it was just meant that I was supposed to come home. And
I've always said before, nothing happens by coincidence, happens for a reason.
It all happens for a reason. Right. You don't understand it at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, why things happen, and why does he take this person? And, you know, it's just, and we'll never know a lot of those answers.
Getting back to your I'm going to be jumping over the place here. They're talking about your books. Uh-huh. The reason why they really dug people like Sin Schrader Hill and a few other authors is because, I got it wrote down here. They said, because of your adventures, your life experiences, your knowledge, and historical facts, and how important that was.
That means a lot.
Especially, you know, the history, and taking this seriously, because these ghosts and spirits are, or were once living people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not
mm-hmm.
just something you made up, and that's
right.
And you have to show them respect. And, you know, these are once people, and mm-hmm. Especially the historical facts, you know. So I think that was important. I thought I was going to share that with you.
That was a nice compliment.
I'm so blessed to have these people that I've come in contact with, I've met. There are generally nice people out there. There's people, you know, you can talk to somebody like you know forever. I feel I can do that with you.
The same.
It's important to me to have connections like that with people I can really talk to and get their view on things.
I have been so blessed to meet everybody that I have met. And, you know, a lot of those people, I fell into the Legit podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I couldn't believe he asked me to be a co-host. I was like, yeah. I'll be a co-host, sure. And that was a year that I did that. And I met so many people. The end of March, we're actually going to meet over in Pulaski at an event that I, through Eric, I met Regina and Lee. And they are putting on this public ghost hunt at Antoinette Hall in Pulaski. It's an old opera house.
Mm.
And I've been wanting to go and just haven't had a chance. And so they're putting this on. I've paid my $45 to go. And so we're going to actually get to meet and hunt together. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah, that is. That's really cool. Let's move on to another topic on going into private homes and doing investigations or cemeteries and treating these spirits with respect. Wouldn't you agree?
It's their home you're actually walking into, not, you know, even if somebody says my house is haunted, this is a 200-year-old house we've renovated. Well, you weren't the first person that lived there. So somebody might still be hanging on, and it's their house.
Getting to, of all the places you investigated, what stands out the most to you? In a memory of either through scaring you, hurting you, or an everlasting memory?
I don't see a lot of ghosts and apparitions, but when I do, man, are they good ones. So I've just seen a handful, and I can tell you a couple of those. I've seen so many shadow figures and or shadows,
mm-hmm.
Let's just say shadows instead of shadow figures, because I don't really know if I've seen a shadow figure or not. But I have seen animal ghosts. I've seen a cat and a dog. and it doesn't matter what time of day. I've seen the most beautiful redheaded ghost. This woman was just dressed to the nines and just beautiful. And it happened to be I was talking to the girl that lived there, but it was her husband's mother that had passed. Well, her husband's mother had died at a late age, and she was showing herself as around 20 to 25 to 30 and gorgeous. But I saw her. The weirdest one I've ever seen was at an old building here that is still in business. So I can't name the business, but it was not human. It was not. And that was the first really strange thing I've seen. And it just kind of, I saw it in reflection. I was looking down. I was trying to get any kind of response I could, because we knew the place was haunted. And so I was sitting by myself where a customer had been harassed by this thing. And I was trying to get a rise out of it. Just, you know, if that was your knock, it really could have been the building settling. So you're going to have to do a little bit better for me.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. And finally, it floated over me as I was looking down in the reflection. And it was this black cloud with white eyes. And I looked up and it wasn't there. And it's almost like my brain is saying, you can't handle looking at it straight on. You can't handle it. So I just saw it in reflection, but it was a weird, weird thing. And the EVP I caught, because I said, oh, I think I just saw something. And the EVP said, it was me.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's like that, and I've said this before, your body can be your biggest tool.
Yes.
I think it might have been the last time you're on. Wyatt, your nephew, when he left that voice recording, you know, that blows my mind, because I just talked the other night about phantom ghost calls.
Mm-hmm.
I've had more than one of those on my show. I even had a friend of mine tell me his whole story. And when you play that back with Wyatt, it's like, you know, you really can't make that stuff up. It's like,
you're always going to have somebody that doesn't believe you, or somebody was in the room with you. And to me, that was my message from Wyatt to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care what anyone else
exactly
thinks.
And that's why I was saying about my book, you know, it's because the past show is on, and a girl asked me, why now to put the book out? You know, why didn't you put it out back then? I was like, well, because back then it was 1967, yeah. There was no internet. There's no Google, no TikTok. Who do you go to?
Well, until then, we didn't really talk about things like that.
You didn't. And, you know, if you went to church, you never talked paranormal in church.
That's right.
Because if you talk paranormal in church, you're going to burn in hell. I mean,
yes.
And I told him that. So, you know, sometimes these old pastors ruin kids or people that had a premonition or something of a spirit or ghost, or even older people. Mm-hmm. They may have believe a different way, but you go to church, you can't talk that.
That's right.
I couldn't tell the police there's something upstairs running around, but there's nobody there. Man, they're gonna lock my butt up, you know. Or
exactly.
You're smoking dope, you're on alcohol, whatever it is.
Or you're schizophrenic.
Schizophrenic, you know.
And you're going to be put on medicine.
And that's why the Catholic priests, they do an extensive background check for before an exorcism. They rule out schizophrenia or mental health.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, because you can use your equipment. And you were saying they don't believe you. Mm-hmm. Even with your equipment, I've had people, you know, myself, use a spirit box or whatever you're using, you have the evidence right there.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, that's a truck driver. That's somebody going by on radio frequency. Or there's tons of reason why it didn't happen. And you got the equipment.
Mm-hmm. And there's some people that you're never going to convince.
People can call me crazy. They can say you're full of crap. You know, it doesn't really bother me. I know, like you said, you know what you saw. You know what you felt with Wyatt. Mm-hmm. I know what I felt with I named her Allison in my story. And I'm not one of these people where everywhere I go, a ghost follows me.
Right.
or I, because those 4 years that we lived in that house was my 4 years, you know. And I think that's what got me so interested in doing a documentary, then leading into a podcast, and then leading into writing that book, you know, that I've had up here for years.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I've stopped caring what other people thought of me a long time ago. It's unbelievable when the people have the same story that you're telling that live in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Or Italy. Or England.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma. Tennessee. Everybody can relate to almost that same story.
That's right.
And you just can't wipe that off and say it didn't happen.
No.
You know, I love the guests that come on. Like you said, you've never seen a shadow figure.
Not that I know of. I've seen shadows.
Mine was more of a light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a light. And then again, your dad or mom's telling you, it's not a ghost. That's a car lights going down the street. It's moving across. Right. Okay, whatever.
Right.
You know, so I think my first shadow figure, actually, a couple of years ago, I went on an investigation at this house, and I actually seen it behind the gentleman owned this house. It moved as like a silhouette of a man behind him. And at the same time, he told me, I just see a shadow figure behind you. So as I see it to him, he's seen it to me.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Oh, that reminds me of a story. Our game night partners, we go over to their house on Friday nights, my husband and I, and her husband and her, and we play games after we eat. And he told me a story that I actually put in the fifth book, Realm of Shadows, called Doppelganger. So he's a big metal detector person, and he would go wherever he could to metal detect. So he and a friend of his went. And it was this old house. They were walking around it. They had done all the investigating. You know, they wanted to go inside it first and look around to see if they could find anything. The owner had said, you know, whatever you find is fine. That's yours. You know, because he was just, it was just an abandoned house at this point. He owned the property, but he wasn't doing anything with it. So he was allowing his friends to go in. And so Russell and his friend were walking around inside. He said they found a couple of little things inside, and then they came back outside. He went to the front or the sidewalk because that's where you find a lot of coins dropped or things like that. And his buddy went around toward the clothesline on the side of the house where people used to hang clothes and things would fall out of pockets or whatever. So he says, that's two of the best places you can find things. And so they were doing that. And he said he was up toward the road at the sidewalk and he felt staring. He felt somebody was watching him. So he turned around and looked toward the house and his buddy was back inside. And he thought, oh, well, I wonder why he went back inside. You know, and so he started that way and started around the corner. And here comes his buddy around the corner. And his buddy said, what did you go back inside for? And he said, I didn't. I saw you upstairs on the second floor. He said, no, I saw you on the second floor. So they both decided that was enough for the day.
Yeah. So which one's a good doppelganger, you know?
Right. So they both had
both were.
Yes.
That's the first I've heard that.
Oh, that's goodness. Yeah. That's one of those that'll go, ooh.
Right. I was just, wow. Okay. That's why I love learning stuff like that on the show. You know, I just learned what a white-eyed kid was. I've heard of black-eyed kids.
I've heard of black-eyed kids too.
I never heard of the white-eyed kids. And I got in that conversation with Derek. You have to talk to Derek about that.
Okay.
Or Eric. Sorry, Eric. Eric Raymondson.
Uh-huh.
Eric told me about the white-eyed kids. So I'm like, because I guess he had on the show, had mentioned it. You know, and so I'm trying to investigate that now. I'm trying to dig into the white-eyed kids. I knew about the black-eyed kids, and I've had some stories about the black-eyed kids. Yeah, that's interesting. So what do you have coming up?
Well, I've got these next two books coming out, and then I've got, after I get The Signs and the Near-Death Experience book out, I've got another Spooky Stories coming out. So all true. After that, I'm going to do a book on the old hospital.
Cool.
So it's going to have the history of the hospital. And it's like, just keep putting it off. It needs to be perfect.
What do you think that is? Well, because of the death in the hospital?
I think there was so much emotion there, from the highs to the lows. So you had birth there. You had death there. You had a lot of traumatic experience there. People got to go home sometimes. Sometimes they didn't. You had all the nurses and the doctors and all their energy, you know, trying to help people. And then, getting frustrated when they couldn't on some cases. And so I think it's all there. And it just ramps up. Do you know the most ramped up time that I've found so far at the old hospital is around Christmas. It's between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And it's like, you can hear people singing. You can hear very faintly. You can hear music very faintly. And once in a while, you can hear bells, like jingle bells,
mm-hmm.
You know, just in the Christmas spirit.
I was going to say that, you know, they're celebrating their Christmas in their own way.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So yeah. It was,
you know, and I would never thought that being true, you know, but
yeah.
Like I said before, our band used to rehearse in an old hospital in our area. And the people own that property. Let us go up there and rehearse in the mental ward of the hospital.
Wow.
Right? So we're up there and you could hear like little kids giggling and running down the hallway. And you open the door, there's nobody there.
Right.
You know, or knocks on the door. And it's still knocking as you open the door, and there's nobody there.
Yes.
Our drummer couldn't wait to get out of that place, you know.
but
it was, I said, you know, it's just the spirits. They're not really harming anybody. It's just letting us know they're there, and you're sharing a space with them. And
a lot of times, though, in those places, they're just residual. There, mm-hmm. There's a nurse at the old hospital that you always know she's around when you smell like this real floral perfume, real rosy.
I was gonna say that. Yeah.
And it's like an old Avon scent from the 70s. You know, it was powerful.
From that time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But she has never, we've never caught her talking to us, doing anything around us. We can just smell when she's around, and that's it.
You ever got her name or
nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing. Mm-mm.
Did you try contacting her?
We have, and we don't get any kind of response about anything related to her. So we just feel that she's a residual spirit there.
Investigate on your own, or you have a team?
Both. We've done both. Yeah. I've taken my team in there to talk. We've done public hunts in there, have a lot of people from community coming in, and the team would split up and we would take like 10 to one floor, 10 to an opposite side of the other floor. And that way you don't have any contamination in your audio.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we would be on the second floor where most of the things happen, it seems like. Second floor was just notorious for things happening. But if you were standing underneath, or right around where the elevators are, you could hear on the third floor a nurse's heels clicking. Now, nurses didn't wear heels.
Right, back in the
50s and 60s.
Yeah, in the hard shoes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And you could hear them click, 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 walking across as she was doing her filing or something.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So that book's kind of going to come out eventually.
Well, Sen, it's been my pleasure having you on the show. And where can people go to contact you?
You can reach me at SenTraderHillAuthor@gmail.com. You can find me on Facebook, same. And Elk Valley Paranormal is also on Facebook. You can go to ElkValleyParanormal.com, my website, and actually listen to a lot of my EVPs and see a lot of the evidence that we've caught over the years. And especially at the old hospital, there's a page dedicated just for it. My books are on Amazon. There's 5 right now. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all those are in the works, but we'll see what happens and how soon we can get up there.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure, really.
My pleasure, always.
Sen Schrader Hill, man, that's one talented woman. She's so cool. She's an author, storyteller, paranormal investigator. It's always my pleasure having her on the show. I'm sure she's going to be back. I am sure of that. My book, Spencer's Ghost, is out right now. You can purchase it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple, Walmart. Most any place you get your books, your ebooks, paperback. You can also pick it up on my website, authoralcooley.com. The links will be in below this show, along with Sen Schrader Hill's links to her books, where you can contact her. My goal is to bring you quality content each week. It's been 7 years running. If you have a ghost story you want to share, paranormal story, doppelganger, Bigfoot, UFO, aliens, spirits, you name it. Or if you know somebody, send them my way. Again, they can reach me at cooley54@gmail.com. You can go on my website, authoralcooley.com. All of my episodes are on that website, my books on that website. And you can contact me for any comments. I appreciate positive feedback.
Just a quick reminder before I sign off today. You have a few days left to enter the Goodreads contest where my book is being given away for free. It doesn't cost you anything. Go into Goodreads, look for Spencer's Ghost in the giveaway section. And you have about 3 or 4 days left. May 1st, I believe. May 1st will be the last day for the giveaway. And also go to my website, authoralcooley.com, copy the code there that's in my book section, and go to bookshop and take $4 off the $13.99. So you're going to get the book for $9.99. That's only for a limited time also. So you might want to act on the Goodreads giveaway and the bookshop promo. As always, thank you for sharing your time with me. My name is Al Cooley on Ghost in the Valley Podcast.
Experience. Moto.us has 5 casino games. It's time! Play big, win bigger on Moto.us today.
Moto is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit Moto.us for more details.
It's time!
Moto.us.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.